Falcons fans, welcome back. It's another edition of the FalconCast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. I'm Jay Adams, joined always by the always stylish Daniel Cox. So you got a little orange and blue and yellow shirt going.
You know, well, summer officially started on Sunday, right? Or something.
The 21st, yeah. June 21st.
You know.
So you're all, you got your summer gear out.
Just trying to get in that mood.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. That's cool. We'll get you to the beach here, and you know, we got
a few weeks
before camp starts. Let's get you out to the beach.
Absolutely.
You got plans for that?
Yeah, I'm going down back to North Carolina next week, July 4th. That whole deal. So
okay,
it's gonna be cool.
Cool.
Gonna hit Wrightsville Beach.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool.
What about you? You're gonna hit a Buffalo Beach.
Buffalo Beach. Yeah, no, but I am going back home to Rochester July 6th.
Okay.
So I'll be up there for a week. And
cool.
Then once I get back, it's the push to camp.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be about 3 weeks at that
point.
Can
you believe it?
I know.
I mean, seriously, can you believe that?
One, two, three, yeah.
We
exactly
are this
3 weeks. Crazy.
To camp. It's just amazing. Of course, Russell Athletic, Atlanta Falcons training camp starts July 25th, and you can get the full schedule here on AtlantaFalcons.com. So make sure you check out the schedule and come out and join us and say hello.
Absolutely. Always good.
Always great. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit, you know, it's kind of a, I don't want to call it a dead period because it's not, obviously there's a ton that will be going on here in the next few weeks, but there's nothing going on right now.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd just talk about some of the positions that the Falcons, you know, are going to be of interest, I think, once training camp starts. And I think we're going to start out with the linebacking group because it's, you know, everybody's talking about the cornerbacks. Everybody's talking about the offensive line. Everybody's talking about defensive end. The linebacking crew is kind of one area that's flown under the radar a little bit as far as position battles and things like that.
Yeah. But there's some battles that are going to take place. Like you say, you know, under the radar, it's more of a depth thing. But
yeah, it's we're probably not looking at, well, who knows? I mean, everything is up for grabs when you get into camp and the linebacker position, you know, is just another one of those positions where there's always going to be some really good competition. But, you know, you look this year and you don't have – the thing that strikes me, okay, about this position is I think first and foremost is you don't have your veteran leader. You don't have your Mike Peterson.
You know, shouts out to Mike Peterson.
And, yeah, shouts out to Uncle Pete, but – you know, as of right now, he's not on the roster.
Yeah.
You don't have him moving forward. So, first and foremost, first thing that comes to my mind is leadership. And where does that come from? And I think the easy guys to point to are Stephen Nicholas and Sean Weatherspoon.
Absolutely.
And those are the guys that are going to be looked to provide that leadership at that linebacking core. But everybody – and you talk about – Weatherspoon, I mean, this is his fourth year coming up, so it's not like he's been around forever. He's not; he doesn't have the tenure that a Mike Peterson has. Nicholas has been around a little bit longer, but I mean, you don't have that one guy who everybody is going to lean on as far as their experience goes at that position. And so, I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic to watch this year how Sean Weatherspoon embraces this leadership position. Because that's, you know, look, when he was drafted in the first round, you expect him to be a franchise player. You expect him to be a leader. And now is that time for him to step up. So that's one of the things that I'm definitely going to be paying attention to here as we get into camp.
Absolutely. And one of the guys I'm curious about is Robert James.
Yeah.
He's a guy, seems like he's been around forever. He's been around.
And you talk about a guy...
Yeah, fifth season. He's leading in his fourth season.
And you talk about a guy who basically, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, where, you know, he spent so much time on the practice squad, that he was running, he was out of eligibility. So it was either make the roster or that's it, because you get 3 years and then that's it. You don't have any more eligibility for the practice squad anymore.
He was in the 08 draft class.
Yeah.
Which
he's and he's an unsung guy from that.
He led the team in special teams tackles last year, which says a lot about, you know, his place on the team. And when you consider, when you factor in special teams and how important you know, some of those key players are to the success of the team. So he's not just a roster filler guy. He's been here for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Certainly a crucial player on special teams, but I think when you look at this this linebacking core, and we talked about it a little bit, is what does the depth look like at this position, at these positions? Because you know, if things remain the same, all right, you're going to have Steven Nicholas, Akeem Dent, Sean Weatherspoon, who's going to be your linebacking core to start out. But without Mike Peterson, things look a little bit different behind them. And you mentioned James, okay, but you've also got Pat Schiller coming into his second year, spent all last year on the practice squad. Behind him, you've got some rookies who I don't think fans have been excited enough about the core of rookies that you've got at the linebacking position.
There's a handful of those few guys they brought in are,
and maybe it's because
productive guys from college,
and maybe it's because you know, they were undrafted guys, or you know, in Brian Banks' case, we don't know truly what his NFL potential is going to be. Although at this point, it looks very good. So that could be the reason why these guys are being overlooked, but guys like Nick Clancy from Boston College, Paul Warlow from Delaware, who's also got some good talent, Joplo Bartu from Texas State, who is a kid who had 62 tackles in his final four games for Texas State last year. And you say what you want to about the tackle statistic and how it's kind of an subjective, or it's a subjective stat sometimes. With stat keepers, you know, maybe adding padding the stats a little bit.
Okay,
I still think if you're in position to be considered for 62 tackles over four games, that's still
it means good. You're making plays. You know, you're on the field. You're getting to the ball.
Right,
that's what it says to me. I'll take guys that, you know, are going to make that tackle more times than not.
Right. So you've got some really good options here that are going to be vying for what you probably think is going to be about five linebacker spots.
Five to six, you know, certainly the number range. Last season they carried five, and I think in previous years they had carried six, and then with Coach Nolan coming in, it kind of flipped a little bit, and they went with six or more defensive backs, and they lessened that linebacker position.
Well, one of the issues, you mentioned the defensive backs. One of the issues that you ran into last year was, you know, the first week, you get to cuts. You get to second round of cuts, and you let go of Dominique Franks, who's a cornerback. But then, because you want to go with Tim Toon as your punt returner, Toon being a wide receiver, and then Toon gets injured that first week of the season.
Right.
And you have to
get
an injury settlement with him. You have to bring back Franks, which adds the number to the cornerbacks.
That's true.
Those are the crazy things that happen on special teams that kind of play with the numbers a little bit. But you're right. You carry five guys last year at the linebacking position because, you know, those depth numbers are all about who can contribute on special teams.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to. And that's where, okay, so guys like Clancy, guys like Banks, guys like Warlow, guys like Bartu, these are guys who are going to have to earn their stripes on special teams. Starting in rookie minicamp and OTAs and veteran minicamp, but especially in training camp and especially during the preseason when you start playing against some other competition.
Sorry, I was looking at Nick Clancy's stats.
Oh, you're enamored by his stats, are you? Well, go ahead and read some.
Yeah, I mean,
don't keep it a secret.
Yeah, well, he played behind Luke Kuechly. I'm sorry, I'm Luke the Kuechly. Worst when it comes to pronouncing names. first round draft pick last season for the Panthers. So he was played on the field with him, and then he stepped into middle linebacker last season at Boston College as a senior. He was the leading tackler in 2011 after three seasons as just a reserve. So again, we're speaking about a guy that's, you know, and that's what you want out of your linebackers, a guy that's just going to make those tackles and be around the ball all over the field at all times. He's the guy that really stands out to me from a coming in here perspective of playing at a big time school and being productive and playing with high caliber players like that guy, LK.
I'm sure he would be thrilled to have that nickname.
Yeah.
LK. Luke Kuechly,
okay.
who plays for the Carolina Panthers
right.
these days.
So Clancy's a guy that, you know, like I said, on paper, come in, he looks like a player.
He seems to have the pedigree.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, you've got a couple of guys in Paul Warlow and Joplo Bartu who are, again, at smaller schools. Okay, so you don't know, you kind of test them out, see how they handle the competition. So far, they look good, and especially Bartu, I think, is a guy that I've noticed. He stood out a little bit in OTAs and minicamp, looked really good to me. Seems like a natural player. He's got good instincts, flies
yeah.
around the ball.
Yeah, he's got... He's got some speed that you know you sometimes look for in linebackers that you don't always have. 17 tackles and 4 sacks in that final game against New Mexico.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing those stats. And like mm-hmm. I said, you know, you can make the argument that well, you know, tackle stats are subjective, but
yeah.
the thing is, like, you've got to at least be in the neighborhood,
right,
to make a play in order to get those stats, and so that's encouraging. To me, and I don't know how Texas State keeps their stats, but I
yeah.
know that argument's going to come up because I've heard it so often as far as tackle stats go. I say this because I'm reminded of Tommy Nobis's gaudy stats. What he had, I think he was credited with like 238 some tackles.
Yeah, it was an unofficial. Yeah, I remember we were putting that together a while back. I remember reading that now.
But
yeah.
every time I hear that tackle argument, that's exactly what I think about. And I think about like the number of tackles that he had like one season with the Falcons. I don't know if it was
yeah.
his rookie year or what that he was credited with. And that was before tackles were kept as an official
yeah.
stat.
Which is kind of crazy, by the way.
Yeah, right? I know. Teams just kind of... you know, kept them themselves, and teams still do that.
Yeah,
and
totally.
You'll find that there are discrepancies
there
in the
are.
Tackle. Like if you ask the team statistician versus the league statistician, mm-hmm. the tackle numbers aren't going to line up
yeah.
all the time because everybody's got different.
Sometimes sacks are like that too.
Yes.
Like they'll
half sack.
Half sacks,
they'll credit
yeah.
a half sack instead of a full sack.
Yeah.
If a guy was just happened to be in the vicinity and. So, anyways, we're getting off on a tangent there, but tackle stats are kind of interesting. But I think it does say something, even if you get those stats, and maybe they are padded a little bit, maybe they're not, at least being in that general area where you're making a play, I think is nothing but a positive. But the guy that I know I'm keeping an eye on, I know you're keeping an eye on, I know everybody else is keeping an eye on, is Brian Banks.
Absolutely.
And his story, fans, if you're not familiar, we've written about him quite a bit on AtlantaFalcons.com, so please do a search on our site and find some stuff on that we've written on Brian. But, of course, Brian spent 5 years in prison for a crime he did not commit, spent another 5 years on parole, and could not pursue his dream of football.
He was a top recruit out of high school.
Top recruit out of high school.
Headed to USC, correct?
Yep. And who knows? That's one of
yeah.
the real shames about this is who knows what he would have done in college and how great he would have been. But, you know, he's here now, and he's resurrecting his football career.
Yeah.
And, you know, just... I've gotten a lot of questions about Brian, about how he looks, about how he's coming along. And so far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
I think You know, one of the things that really benefits him is that it's not like he signed, you know, right after the draft. He's been here since March. Okay. Yeah. So he's had kind of the advantage of having that little lull period that's just completely voluntary workouts during March leading up to the draft, where he has been able to get in here, look at film, talk to some other players. I know him and Pat Shiller have been very close. Pat has helped him tremendously with, especially at the onset, understanding the playbook, looking over film, watching the things that he's supposed to be doing. Those things, I think, are going to end up helping Brian in the long run, because he's had this longer learning period. It's been slow. He even told me during minicamp, or yet right at the end of minicamp, is that, you know, now being minicamp OTAs, that sort of thing, is the time when you really want to focus on the things that you know you need to improve on, because you've got the time to ask questions of your coaches, of your teammates, and things like that. And once you get to training camp, it's you don't have that, because you're on a very
full
quick
speed
pace
ahead.
Going towards the season and into the preseason.
It's no longer, once it's an interesting point in training camp, it's no longer necessarily about the individual player and his performance and improvement and production. It's about the team and the best 11 guys being on the field on each side.
Absolutely. And so Brian has really benefited from that longer learning period, having a lot of time to develop mentally, because I think that's a big part of it in the NFL, is that, you know, you talk to a lot of rookies who are just coming out of college, and they'll talk about how their head is spinning their first few weeks here, because the playbook is so much different, the terminology is different, it's all more complex.
Yeah.
So, and these are kids right out of college. And now you're talking about a guy who hasn't played football in 10 years. And the last system he played in was a high school system. Yeah. And now he's coming in and learning an NFL system, okay? And not only an NFL system, but Mike Nolan's system, which can be – it's complex, you know, for players.
And he's being asked to play middle linebacker, and he's kind of leading – you know, getting the defense set up. So there's a bit of that leadership / knowledge aspect as well.
Absolutely.
To pile on to all that other stuff.
Sure. And here's the thing. Here's one of the great things about Brian, and there are so many, is that, you know, when he was in prison, he spent that time reading up on defenses and schemes and terminology and different things. And, of course, everything is different per team. Mm-hmm. But just keeping himself mentally abreast of the game, I think, is one of the most important things that he probably did.
Yeah.
When he was unfortunately locked up for a crime he didn't commit.
Yeah.
And I think all that is starting to pay off now, where you maybe expect the learning curve to be pretty steep for him. Mm-hmm. I think that is gradually, you know.
Yeah.
And reduced that learning time that he has needed to get accustomed to.
And this might be something worth discussing with him. I wonder, you know, we all, like you were mentioning, rookies coming in, their heads are spinning, you know, terminology, learning the defense and everything. I wonder if there's some built-in advantage to him being in an opposite situation where he kind of has, you know, granted, he, you know, while his time spent in prison, he was reading and those sorts of things, but does he have a blank slate somewhat to kind of take in all this stuff, and is there an advantage there? It's just kind of a thought.
That's a good point. I mean, it's a good question to ask, because I think there might be some validity to that, because it's like you say, you talk to a lot of these guys who have to learn new terminology.
Yeah, they're unlearning things.
Yeah. And even a guy like Steven Jackson, who's been around for 9 years, you know, and he's trying to learn this brand new system. He's been in the same system, you know, with the same team, with the same teammates for a long time, and now he's had to unlearn some of those things because he's in a brand new system that's completely different with different playmakers and things like that. And I think, you know, there's probably some validity to that argument.
Yeah. It's an interesting one. It's you know, cuz he's a smart guy, and he seems like he picks things up quickly. So I just wonder, you know, if he did have some sort of advantage in that regard coming in and just saying, okay, you need to learn this. And he has, you know, little, I don't know, he just, you just, I don't know, I guess when you think about learning styles and how people learn, you know, is there, I'm talking, we're sidetracking here, but is there, you know, if you're expected to learn something that you know nothing about or have a little foundational knowledge about, is it easier to pick that up? Like kids learning Spanish when they're young kids, as opposed to learning a new language as an adult, seems like they say they have a better time doing that. So
could be.
I don't know.
Could be. You might be
philosophical here.
Yeah, maybe you should write a book.
Yeah.
Just delve into that subject.
Yeah, but I'll spend the next 3 weeks while I have nothing else.
Right, exactly. We joke about it, but I think you're onto something there because, and who knows, it could be totally the opposite,
yeah,
where having more of the finer details of a system help you to learn a new system because there's correlations that you can draw. Who knows, but maybe it's something to delve into for
okay.
sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as where Banks fits in to the whole scheme, I think one of the things that gives him an advantage over the other guys he's going to be competing against is his age. Mm-hmm. And it's so – you never see a 27-year-old rookie.
Yeah.
All right? And most teams would shy away from that. But I think, you know, obviously that's not the case in Brian's situation. But – Here's a guy who's going to be a 27-year-old rookie, a 28-year-old rookie, because I believe he's got a birthday here coming up,
yeah,
before the season. But that difference, the difference in talking to Brian versus talking to a rookie, a
yeah,
true rookie right out of college, is vast. I mean, and Brian has lived more life than most of us will.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think all that experience, all the trials and tribulations that he's gone through are ultimately going to help him in training camp when every single day is the biggest job interview of your life.
Yeah.
And I think nobody knows pressure on this team like this guy does. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately that's going to help him. I think it's a very realistic prediction, I guess, and I don't want – usually get into predicting things,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I think he's going to make the team in some asset.
Practice squad or otherwise.
Practice squad,
yeah,
or whether he's
yeah,
a depth player or something. I think he's going to stick around. And that's just my feeling just from watching him and
yeah,
just from talking to him. I think, you know, it's a situation where his life experience, his leadership abilities, all these intangibles
yeah,
are going to lock in with his football ability.
Absolutely.
Which is definitely something to talk about.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm more interested in is like once we get into Friday Night Lights, once we get into the preseason,
yeah,
we see him hitting
yeah,
and we see him tackling and we see him running around and making plays. I think that's going to be the true test.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll really get a sense of where his football abilities are. But everything leading up to this point, I think, has been nothing but impressive
yeah,
for him.
In his defense, so to speak, watching him in practices, and again, I've stressed this a number of times on Twitter, an OTA practice and what we see in OTAs and minicamp is so dramatically different from training camp. So it's sometimes hard to know certain things about a player or how he looks to answer some of those questions. But he doesn't look like a guy that's you know, out of place or is significantly behind the other players from really any perspective. He looks
right,
like he fits in on the field.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say to the fans that are, you know, wondering about what he looks like on the field. That's
yeah,
about the best I could say right now.
Yeah, and, you know, I've seen him during minicamp, there are no true first teams or second
mm-hmm,
teams or third teams. You know, it's just you put a lot of guys in a lot of different situations to
yeah,
see how they react, how they look with different players and different personnel on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him running a lot with what you would consider maybe first group guys.
Yeah.
And you never noticed him because he was doing something that he shouldn't be doing.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was good to see, you know, to your point that he doesn't seem like he's all that far behind. Now, you and I aren't privy to to what goes on in the linebacker room. You and I aren't privy to the film from practices. And even if we were, who knows if we could dissect it properly or not.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
So, like, we're looking at this through not a layman's eyes, because we're around these guys. We're around the sport. We know the sport.
Right.
But I don't know that our assessment is going to be too far off from an actual professional coach's perspective. Just based on what we've seen here over the months that Brian's been here, I think, you know, it's safe to say that he's probably ahead of where you would expect somebody with his background.
Yeah. I think he's exceeding expectations, and those expectations were probably minimal to some regard. So I think he's exceeding. Great story. Great. I mean, all that aside, I mean, Brian Banks, just a dude, is a good guy.
Oh,
he's a good kid.
I know.
I'm glad he's on the Falcons. You know, I'm glad we get to cover him and not someone else.
Yeah.
So,
and if you come out to camp, you know, the players sign autographs after every practice. And if you're lucky enough to be at one of the practices where the linebackers are signing, definitely go say hi to Brian, because he's an amazing dude, as are every single player on this team. But just knowing his story and everything, he's just such an inspirational figure. On the site right now, I've got a link to Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen did a podcast with him yesterday. It's a conversation of about an hour and 10 minutes, hour and a half, where Brian just talks about his story, his life, everything that he's faced up to this point. And it's something I would highly recommend you take a listen to if you need to know more about Brian, or if you just like Brian, or whatever the case may be. It's a great story to listen to, and I think there's so much you can learn from a guy who's been through some stuff that most of us can't even imagine.
Yeah, or would want to imagine.
Or would want to imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's kind of how we see Brian fitting in. We've gotten some questions on Twitter about it. Mm-hmm. So, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Real quick before we wrap this up, quick shout out to one of my favorite Falcons fans, Mark Cooper. Twitter handle, hanging with Coop, wit, W-I-T, not with,
right,
of course. Winner of him and his team of the ATL Falcoholics won the Grill with the Falcons a couple weeks ago. he's an enjoyable guy. His food's good. Shout out to him, and shout out to everybody, all the fans that came out to mini camp last week. I know the fans, the players appreciated it. And I heard applause, people clapping when they came onto the field and when they left the field, when they ended practice. And I've never heard that before, never noticed it at least. So, you know, good job by the fans for being out there and supporting the Falcons, you know, just in the middle of the summer, basically. I really appreciated that. I know they did as well.
It really gave you a taste of what training camp will probably be like. And I'm expecting, you know, that atmosphere pretty much every day of camp.
Yeah.
And ever since the NFC Championship game, fans have been so excited for this season, with the additions this offseason and everything that's gone on. It's palpable. And we talked about it last year, because there was excitement last year.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, because I look back a year ago and I'm like, at the time, I didn't think it could build from there. Mm-hmm. And it has.
Yeah.
It has. The expectations are high, and I think the excitement level is right there with it.
Yeah.
And so those are things you see is people coming out to minicamp and cheering.
Yeah.
Or when Matt Ryan throws a deep ball to Julio Jones, you hear that steady build of the crowd as the ball's in the air. I mean, it's a lot of fun to watch. And we're talking about training camp.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about minicamp. We're not even in the season yet. We're not even in preseason yet. So, I mean, to see that kind of excitement and to watch it build over these last few months has been amazing. And so definitely shout out to the fans. Shout out to Mark Cooper. His ATL Falcoholics team really showed up at the Grill with the Falcons event, which, if we haven't talked about it,
we haven't.
Just an amazing event.
Don't get us started.
I know. We can't say enough good things about
that. It was so much fun.
I've told a lot of people around this building that it quickly became one of my favorite things that we do.
It's like a block party that's Falcons-centric.
Exactly.
Like and all it, your Falcons' best friends are there.
And we get this question all the time is, how do I meet the players? How do I get their autographs? All this stuff. That's the event you go to.
Yeah. Because these guys are walking around in tank tops and water guns, and they are – I don't know that they're more accessible.
I've never seen them event. More accessible. I've never seen any – I've been around sports my whole life, and I've never seen accessibility like I saw at Grill with the Falcons.
I mean, you got Willie Moe rapping and like – and
and he was just
– you had to do was take the mic from him, and you could rap along with Willie Moe.
And months earlier, he was playing in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
I mean that's the thing that you know we've brought up so many times on this show is just the accessibility that you get with the Falcons. But I think this event in particular, huge chance to meet and talk to and get a photo. I mean, Mike Smith was signing autographs for 4 hours.
Yeah,
taking pictures, signing autographs, all that stuff.
And that is not an exaggeration.
No.
He literally did that.
Hours. I know a couple of rookies tweeted after that their hand hurt because they signed so many autographs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about that event is that
Pat Shiller's signing babies.
Pat Shiller did sign
I saw Akeem Din. I took a picture of it. Signing a guy's shoulder, bare skin.
Yes. There was a guy walking around. I think he was getting the guys to sign his shoulder so that he could get him tattooed on him.
Nice.
So that was kind of an interesting. But, I mean, just the people and the fans, and we got a chance to talk to some fans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's – I can't say enough good things about that event, and I'm sure that it will become a staple for many, many years, and I can only see that event growing into to a much bigger event than it was, even though it was big and it was a lot of fun. And I can only see that thing getting better.
Definitely. So,
put that on your to-do list for next summer. Mm-hmm. We'll, as soon as we know the date for it, we will let you know. But obviously, business of the 2013 season at hand first. So
yes.
But we'll be back next week. Mm-hmm. Will we? Yes.
Yeah, no? We got to figure that out. As soon as you hit stop, we need to discuss this.
Yeah, because you're not going to be here. I might be going solo, or I might pull in Matt Moore to talk about some Teen Mom.
We're going
to
figure this out.
I don't know. I think Matt Moore and I could sit here and talk 30 minutes on Teen Mom. Discuss I've never Teen seen Mom. That show.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure that, yeah. It's,
I've never seen that show, but I'm sure that there would be...
The title of the show is quite descriptive, so
yeah,
gives you a good place to start.
Yeah, I think I saw a show advertised on TLC. It was something like, I'm pregnant, and so is my mom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's all that and more in next week's show.
Yes. Tune in.
Tune in to next week's show. Well, we'll have something for you next week and the week after and all the way leading up to training camp. But thanks again for joining us on the FalconCast podcast. As always, tweet us your comments, questions, and suggestions for the show. We are always looking for those. And make sure to tune in every, Wednesday, Thursday-ish.
Maybe Tuesday.
Maybe Tuesdays, who knows. We'll find a set time for this thing one day. But thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the podcast.